The Genesis Communications Network is sponsored by the U.S. Money Reserve, your exclusive source for gold and silver precious metals. Visit them online at usmoneyreserve.com.
The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Judeo-Christian ethic has provided the principles upon which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government and society, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
Welcome back again to Hour 2, sonsoflibertyradio.com, 1-866-582-9933 if you'd like to call in at any time. Friends, I want to share with you real quick, where if you're listening to the break there, you heard a Republican representative telling the American people, listen, the President of the United States, he's just given way too much time to the Iranians. He's just given them way too much time. Well, why is he doing that? I'll tell you what. He said that if the president doesn't begin to listen to Congress, we're going to go ahead and deal with the issues at hand in essence. Really? When does that start? You know, it's interesting because just this last week, friends, I got an email from none other than Paul Ryan. He's the guy that just signed off concerning everything that Barack Hussein Obama needed to bring forth an influx of illegal immigrants into the United States of America, even going so far to sign that $2 billion omnibus bill to go ahead and give them scholarships when they get here. They're alluring them in here on your dime, friends. But I got this email from Paul Ryan, you know, the good guy. He said, I urgently need to hear from you. As a speaker, my part and my job is to right the wrongs of the President of the United States of America. Really? I'm just kind of curious, when does that happen? When does that begin to take place? You do the opposite of what you say. You hypocrite. You pretender. My goodness, friends, we need to wake up. I do not know for the life of me why conservatives continuously, Christians and patriots, continuously put the mic up to that criminal administration's mouth. I don't understand it. That's just my two cents real quick. Breaking into Hour 2 on sonsoflibertyradio.com. Friends, again, if you'd like to jump in on online at any time, 1-866-582-9933. 1-866-582-9933. I want to get over to this again, friends. I was highlighting several things over this last week, stuff I love to talk about. As a matter of fact, it's always in my heart that our conversation becometh the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. If I was in a black church right now, somebody be saying, Brother Dean, bring it down. Bring it down, Brother Dean. That's what we're doing. I'm going to give you, here is a remedy to the issue concerning all of the issues that we have. Here's the remedy. Ready? Deuteronomy 4:6. Here it is. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom, God's commandments, and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. He said, this is the answer, friends. Keep therefore and do them. That's it. Deuteronomy 4:6. Well, this is the whole duty of God, of man. Fear God and keep his commandments. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Friends, come on, you know? It's not difficult to obey those in whom you love. It really isn't. But there's your answer. Just wanted to share. We've been talking about, again, the myth of the modern gospel. I was just bearing with you and sharing with you, friends, the cross of Jesus Christ. And isn't it interesting, even friends in John 20, chapter 20, verse 21. Isn't it interesting? After his crucifixion, Jesus showed his apostles, after his crucifixion, the holes in his hands and the hole in his side where the spear was pushed forth by the centurion, where water and blood spilt out, in the holes in his feet. And then he looked at his apostles as he's showing him in them his wounds. He said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you, is what he said. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. And then he breathed on them the Holy Ghost, because Acts 5 tells us that the Holy Ghost was given unto those that obey the gospel. And why do you obey? Because you love. Friends, again, you do the things that you do because you love, not because you have to. That's the works of the law. And do keep in mind, friends, making the distinction of ceremonial law in distinction of that of moral law, which Christ never abrogated, God's Ten Commandments. Getting back to this, I also talked about, on Thursday we had some technical issues, friends. Again, do forgive me. We're picking up from there. We hit some of the stuff that I wanted to hit from Thursday on Friday, and I want to pick up from there, friends. And I want this for my Saturday listeners to understand what's going on, because, friends, again, going back, okay, to history, let's look at Jesus today, and let's look at him in Scripture. When Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" they said, some say that you're Elijah. Some say that you're John the Baptist, risen from the dead. Some say that you're one of the old prophets. Because we need to understand that Jesus is one that spoke as one having authority and not as the scribes, right? He's called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's called the captain of our salvation in the book of Hebrews, right? There's the character of the Christ, a man of man's, Lord of lords and the King of kings. But what's the image that we have of him today? Because what we see in America today is we see the preacher with a big smile on his face because he's an enemy of the cross of Jesus Christ. Read Philippians 3. He doesn't know what the cross is because he doesn't understand the cross. He doesn't understand the power of God unto salvation. He doesn't get to the other side. He doesn't understand the power of the Holy Ghost like David knew, like Gideon knew, like Samson knew, like the prophets knew, like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob knew, like the apostles knew. They don't understand that power at all. See, they have a lot of head knowledge, but they don't understand that God speaks to the heart and not the head. See, they don't have the Holy Ghost because they remain in their sin, as I said during the first hour, 1 Corinthians 15. Folks, what I'm trying to get to is these preachers of the day are not good representatives of the gospel of Jesus Christ in any sense of the word. They don't understand what straight and narrow and difficult is the way. They don't understand through many trials and tribulations do we enter into the kingdom of God. They don't understand any of that, friends. Listen to this carefully. This is E.M. Bounds, and I'm going to highlight some more on this topic before we get over to what we've been talking about, and I'm going to bring it to a closure, hopefully before the end of the hour. Cool? E.M. Bounds said, during the Civil War, he was a preacher during the Civil War. This is what he said. The Christian life is no picnic or excursion. It's not entertainment or a pleasure trip. This is exactly what you see in the pulpits in America today. They want to entertain you because they want to get a big offering. They want to please you. They're people pleasers, like Aaron was when he made the golden calf. They didn't want anything to do with Moses. Right? It involves effort, wrestling and strugglings, Acts 14:22. It demands putting forth the full energy of your spirit in order to frustrate the enemy, the foe, and in the end, more than a conqueror, Romans 8:37. It's not a flower-strewn path, not a rose-scented affair, said E.M. Bounds. From start to finish, it is a spiritual warfare. It is a battle, not a game. From the moment they first drew their spiritual swords, Christian warriors are compelled to endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, 2 Timothy 2:3. We're going to come back to this, friends. I love this topic. Look what they're doing with the image of Jesus today. They're painting him out to be some effeminate little pansy walking around with pink booty on, smacking sheep on the backside, telling the world everything is okay, instead of repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Let's get back to that. This is informative information, friends. It's great.
As you listen to the show today, you're probably thinking, how can I be a part of changing culture and restoring this country for our posterity? Well, we at the Sons of Liberty have an answer for you. Pick up the phone and call radio stations in your hometown. Tell them you want to hear the Sons of Liberty on your AM and FM stations. Help us multiply the message that we deliver to the nation every day. And equip your community with the truth that is protecting our liberty for generations to come. Remember, we can do this together. Are you tired of hearing nothing but gloom and doom from the mainstream media? It's time to turn the dial and start learning the truth of who you are so you know where you're going. That's why we at the Sons of Liberty are proud to introduce our new media outlet, sonsoflibertymedia.com. Every day, we're posting articles written by contributors from coast to coast who are actually in the fight in this culture war, bringing you the news and history the mainstream media does not want you to hear. sonsoflibertymedia.com. Get the news with resolve.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are having a positive impact on the future of this country we all love so much. If you have not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you today to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty. Call 1-866-233-0747 or online at sonsoflibertyradio.com. Be a part of the team that brings responses like this.
This is conservative Arizona State Representative Anthony Kern. I recently attended the Take Back America tour hosted by nationally syndicated radio talk show personality Bradley Dean and was greatly encouraged by what I saw and heard. Bradley's combined message of faith and freedom is what America desperately needs to hear.
Become a son or daughter of liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty, 1-866-582-9933. Folks, this is the radio show where we think for ourselves and make not the others the measure of our conduct. And why is that? Because it's a terrible place to be when your brains are in someone else's head. True that. True that, true that. Talking about how they're softening down the image of preachers. And I was just sharing with you right before the break, friends, how they're, you know, trying to effeminize Jesus. Even if you look at him on a cross today, for the most part, he looks like an effeminate white pale pansy with a little blood on his side. Hey, folks, he was marred more than any man. He was unrecognizable, friends. But they want to lighten the sacrifice as well, don't they? Of course, which is the answer to America's dilemma? Christ crucified is the pearl of the church, friends. Both in the spiritual and in the natural. But isn't it interesting how they keep softening down the character of preachers? Let's go to equating this to the modern-day smiling preacher. Everything's wonderful in his life. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Folks, it's not scriptural. But how they want to make Jesus out to be this little effeminate pansy with pink booties on, smacking sheep on the butt, saying to the world everything's okay. No, that wasn't his message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was his message. And those that wanted to follow him, I understood right off the bat that you're going to bear the cross. Those that even desired to live godly were going to be persecuted. Hello? What Bible are you reading, America? What Bible are you listening to? The same ones that college students are listening to during the first hour? They acknowledged everything but the truth. They would accept everything but the truth. Hey, folks, Jesus said that this is my commandment, that you love one another, but if the world hates you, you know it hated me before it hated you. Why? Read John 7:7. He told his disciples, if the world hates me, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Hey, folks, concerning Christians, real Christians, the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree, right? John 15, if we're in Christ, we're going to be persecuted. We're going to be persecuted for righteousness' sake, the Bible tells us. See, that's the problem today. The American people have been intimidated by a bunch of communists within. A bunch of devils within, not realizing that you have more power than they do. You know, it's interesting. I heard some time back where a satanic priest came forward and said the church has no idea the power that's available to them. No, they don't. Because they don't love God enough to obey Him. Going back to the point, effeminizing Jesus, effeminizing and softening down the countenances of real preachers. You know, the Bible says we're called to be ministers of the flames of fire. We're to have the scepter of the kingdom, which is hating iniquity, lawlessness, and loving righteousness. Hebrews 1. You know, we understand, folks, what Jeremiah 23:23 says, or 23:29, when he says, "Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" Now, that's foreign to the modern preacher, friends. Hireling, I'm sorry. But man, you look at the modern day preacher, he's all happy about everything. And I'm trying to figure out where he's getting the joy of the Lord, because it ain't through bearing the cross, Hebrews 12. And if you want the real understanding of the fruits of the Spirit concerning joy in Galatians 5, read Nehemiah 8. It was through repentance towards God they found their joy. And it was by the Holy Ghost that gave them the joy. Oh, Bradley. Oh, listen to this kid. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He just doesn't know, the peace that passeth all understanding. Huh. Really. Didn't Jesus say something about the peace that he gives unto us is not that the peace that the world gives? But he said, "Be of good comfort, I have overcome the world." Isn't it interesting how Americans today, again, talking to the church, hey folks, when I'm talking about conservatives, I'm talking about patriots, we're all talking about Christians, because you're deriving the name from the Christ in every sense of the word. Conservative means a preservative, right? And the salt of the world, right? We're called to be the salt of the world. And what does the salt do? It stops putrefaction. That's where the word conservative comes from. And patriot means to uphold dying laws. And Jesus came to magnify the law, because he came to do the will of the Lord. And the law was written in his heart, right? Psalm 40, Hebrews 10. So I'm talking to all three groups every time I talk about the conservatives and the Christians and the patriots, okay? You're all in one. You all claim to be something that is derived from Christ. Now, I want you to remember, friends, as well, that keep in mind the people that mean to tone down Jesus and the countenance of real preachers are the hypocrites, the Pharisees, the pretenders. I mean, by the looks of the modern day church today in America, I can see why the enemy's encouraged. And what's interesting is your enemies are a bunch of effeminate pansies coming out of this administration. Literally, effeminate pansies. This is what the American people are bowing to, a bunch of effeminate pansies. But I know the men are too busy. I get all that. They're watching those grown men with tights on fighting over a pig ball. I get that. I understand where their priorities are. Did you know that John Wesley, concerning the Methodists and the Wesleyans, did you know that they didn't like his rough countenance? If you look at an original picture of John, a painting of John, original painting of that prophet from England in the 1700s, it literally looks like he went through hell backwards. The modern day church said his countenance is too rough. Let's change it. So they did. They toned down his look. He looks like an effeminate pansy, something that you would want nothing to do with. I mean, folks, it's repulsive to look at these modern paintings, the modern look in which they try to give Jesus. They want him to look repulsive. Folks, he's not repulsive. He's the one that died for your sins. And what you see with your natural eyes, friends, is not who he is. Okay? Read the book of Revelations. It'll identify who he is in his risen state in power. Amen? A man of man's. A king of kings and a lord of lords, as I said earlier. They want to tone down the countenance of what preachers really look like. They don't want you to understand the cross. Because if you understand the cross and you understand the power of God, guess what? You walk in that power that bears witness to the Christ resurrected in power, which dominates all the works of the enemy. So who would be behind all of that? Right? Who would be behind all of that? All these smiling preachers. Hey, furthermore, Isn't it interesting how when you go to these revival meetings, folks, you can't revive what isn't dead. They're still alive in their sin. Read 1 Corinthians 15, as I said earlier. But isn't it interesting, there's a preacher since the 70s. I brought this up a couple times on the show. Isn't it interesting how everybody loves the modern-day preachers, for the most part? They love him, man. There's this one particular guy that came out of the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And I remember, I'm not yet 50 years old, friends, but I want you to know that I remember noticing right away that when we'd go out into the parking lot at these revival meetings, there wasn't stickers that said Christ crucified or deny yourself and take up the cross. There wasn't stickers that said for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain, or glory be to Christ. No, the stickers all across the stadium parking lot were the preacher's name on them. Hey, isn't there something wrong with that? Wasn't it Jesus in the book of Luke chapter 6 where he said, "Woe unto you, and all men speak well of you, for so did your fathers of the false prophets." The false prophets? Man, something wrong. Something's wrong, folks. Whoa, something's really wrong. Hip-hop artist Chuck D said of Martin Luther King Jr., he said of Martin Luther King Jr., "I don't like the fact that when people look at Dr. King at the millennium," he said, "there's this year by year softening down of his image like he wasn't radical. You had to have a radical viewpoint just to be able to stand in the face of oppression and take it to a physical level if need be." Yeah. You know, Martin Luther King, did you know that he's the one that said a man of conscience can never be a molder of consensus? A man of conscience can never be a consensus leader. Forgive me. He said, a man of conscience can never be a consensus leader. He doesn't care what the people have to say. A man of conscience is a molder of consensus. As a matter of fact, they used to call him an extremist back in the 60s. Matter of fact, even the government, I remember seeing some interviews of some senators and representatives that came out and called him the troubler. Isn't it interesting they use biblical language? Yep, just like Elijah. But he wasn't the troubler. He was just exposing those that were causing the trouble. Those that wouldn't be ruled by the Father's commandments. That's all. But this is what he said. He said, "I must admit, America, that I was initially disappointed being so categorized as an extremist. But as I continued to think about the matter," this being MLK Jr., "I gradually gained a bit of satisfaction from being an extremist." He said, "Was not Abraham Lincoln an extremist? This nation cannot survive half slave and half free." Of course, that's not why Abraham Lincoln actually, you know, he just used the slaves as a political talking point. That was it, because the North was just as guilty as the South. But he said, "Was not Thomas Jefferson an extremist? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal." So the question is not whether we'll be extremists, but what kind of extremists we'll be. Will we be extremists for the preservation of injustice, or will we be extremists for the cause of justice? Be right back.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Hello, I'm Michael Reagan. My father, President Ronald Reagan, believed so strongly in gold that in 1985, he changed gold ownership forever. Today, our national debt is spiraling out of control, but gold coins could be the answer. Call 1-866-525-GOLD or go online to usmoneyreserve.com to get new, never-before-released information about gold. From the U.S. Money Reserve, call 1-866-525-GOLD.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. you can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 pain relief hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Serious investors and traders want to make 81% return in 60 seconds? Use the same secret algorithm professional hedge fund managers use to make billions of dollars of profit. Turn $250 into $4,903 in just 7 clicks of a mouse. Our tool is so simple that my 82-year-old grandmother can use it to make insane stock market profits. Go to FastWealthFast.com. Watch the free video before the hedge funds make us take it down. Go to FastWealthFast.com.
From the Robert Allen System, current returns not indicative of future results.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Piedmont Attorney Spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty, folks. So, friends, talking about the softening down of the countenance of those spiritual leaders, both in the past and in the present. Just talking about MLK Jr., he said, will we be extremists for the preservation of injustice, or will we be extremists for the cause of justice? But the conclusion is this, because this is where we're at today in America. Now that he's safely dead, let us praise him. For dead men make for such convenient heroes, they cannot rise up to challenge the images we fashioned for them. Besides, it's easier to build a monument than it is a movement. Huh. Going back to E.M. Bounds, he said there is so little to nothing of the soldier elements in today's Christianity. He said this in the 1800s. 2 Timothy 2:3, he said the discipline, the self-denial, the spirit of hardship and determination that belong to the military life and are so prominent in it are lacking in Christianity. Yet, my friends, said E.M. Bounds, the Christian life is warfare from the beginning to the end. Let me tell you. You know, as a matter of fact, it was actually John Calvin said that, who said that whomsoever the Lord have adopted and deemed worthy of his fellowship ought to prepare themselves for a hard, toilsome, and unquiet life, crammed with very many and various kinds of evil. That's not the Bible I was reading! No, you haven't been reading it. You've been listening to the pastor that ain't reading it. And he's telling you what he thinks rather than what he knows it to be, because he's never experienced it. Enemies of the cross. That was John Calvin. Martin Luther, the reformer, that prophet of God, who was prophesied, by the way, from John Huss on the cross, on his stake where they burned him alive. He prophesied Martin Luther 100 years prior to Martin Luther coming on the scene, for those that did not know. He was being burned at the stake and he prophesied Martin Luther. And by the way, because of Martin Luther, America, you have religious freedoms. You can thank God for that through Jesus Christ our Lord. You can thank God that Martin Luther didn't bend and bow. When he said, God help me, there is no other. When he stood in the face of those that were bringing forth the Inquisition. Recant, recant. They wanted him to recant, 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 recant. It's the same thing you're hearing in America today. You're being told what to say and what to do. And if you do what you do opposite of what you're told not to do and do the opposite of what you're told not to say, you better recant, 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 recant. Nope. I'm not going to recant in Jesus' name. We're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not in the business of denying the Christ, no matter what it looks like. Martin Luther said of himself, he said, I am rough, boisterous, stormy, altogether warlike. He said, I'm born to fight against innumerable monsters and devils. I must remove stumps and stones, cut away thistles and thorns, and clear wild forests. He's also the guy that said, those that want to defend their sin, he said, you want to avoid the punishment of sin? He said, you want to resist it and defend your sins. He said, you shall succeed as well as the dog that bites into the spine of a porcupine. Does it sound like a guy that was a people pleaser, was looking for the approbation of men, the favor of men? A people pleaser. Does it sound like he desired the praise of men more than the praise of God? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But America, you've been asking for him, and I'm telling you what, you've got him. I mean, you got a bunch of hirelings saying, gimme, 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 my name is Jimmy. You know, look what God will give you if you give to me. Good measures pressed down, shaken together, running over. Men shall give unto your bosom. Hey, by the way, honey, let's go get that third Learjet that we need, or that third home, or how about that lake home, or how about that fourth car? We'll ask the congregation today to sell their cars for the good of the church. Yep, seen that. Folks, I've been in church meetings. When I first got saved, I was invited to a pastoral meeting in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, where one of the biggest prosperity churches broadcasts on a daily basis their heresy to those that will listen. Oh, and there's a lot of them listening, let me tell you. They're enemies of the cross of Christ, friends. Interestingly enough, I remember going in the back and I said to this pastor that I went with, I said, man, there's more money back here on that woman's finger. She could feed three countries with what she's got on her finger. Yep, and she's going to get out there in front of the people and she's going to tell them, listen, we have church needs. We need this, that, and the other thing. Well, why doesn't she sell her ring? And if it's really about the poor, it's like even the Pope, friends. He sits on this golden throne, and he sits there and he preaches from the golden throne as to how he's looking out for the poor. He's sitting on a golden throne. I mean, folks, you got to do it right in front of their face. That's what they do. That's exactly what they do. So, I've searched Scripture high and low for the Jesus loves you gospel. I can't find it. If it's there, I'll gladly preach it. Nowhere can I find any of the apostles telling sinners that Jesus loved them. Nowhere in the Bible. The Bible does say, for God so loved the world, demonstration, in John 3:16. We've all heard that. But reference to the love of God is in direct reference to the cross of Jesus Christ. Here in His love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to die for our sins, as the propitiation for our sins, 1 John 4:10. Or what about this one? God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. Or greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends, John 15:13. Or how about this one? 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Or Christ hath also loved us and hath given Himself for us as an offering, Ephesians 5:2 again, or John 3:16 once again. So where is God's love? How is it that the Apostle Paul knew that God loved him? He was often hungry, naked, he was whipped, beaten, he was stoned, and so depressed at times that at one stage he wanted to die. Read 2 Corinthians verse 1. He was mocked, hated, shipwrecked, imprisoned for years, and then finally martyred. So, friends, what did he look to for the assurance of God's love for him? It wasn't lip service. He didn't look at his lifestyle because to the unlearned eye, it didn't exactly speak of God's caring hand for him. His abundant life was certainly full, but it wasn't full of what we would think it should have been full of if God loved him. I mean, look at Paul. Visualize this. Lying half naked on a cold dungeon floor. Chained to a hardened Roman guard. I want you to look at his bloody back and his bruised, swollen face. This is the guy that wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. Hey, Paul! Hey, Paul, we see you've been beaten again. Where are your friends, Paul? I mean, we know that Demas and others have forsaken you. Hey, where's that expensive chariot and your successful building program at, Paul? Where's the evidence of God's blessings, Paul? I want to know. What's that? What did you say? Did I hear you mumble something through those swollen lips that God loves you? Paul slowly lifts his head. His black and bruised eyes look deeply into yours, and they sparkle as he says two words. The cross. The cross. He painfully reaches into his blood-drenched tunic and carefully pulls out a large letter. He had been writing with his own hand. His trembling and blood-stained finger points to one sentence in particular. You strain your eyes in the dim of light and read Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, Paul knew that when God created the heavens, the sun, the moon, the stars, and the sky that surrounds this massive earth in which we're upon, he displayed to humanity his incredible power, his majesty, and of course his glory. And in the same way, the cross of Calvary displayed to humanity the evidence of God's love towards us. Listen to Romans 5:8 again. But God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That was the source of Paul's joy and thus his strength. But God forbid that I should glory except in the cross, Galatians 6:14. If there's an economic recession, those who look solely to material blessings as evidence of God's love will think that God has forsaken them, when in fact that is not true. Those who look to the cross as a token of God's love, however, will never doubt his steadfast devotion to them. The cross is the show of God's love for the world. It is the focal point of our message, friends. And by the way, it is the remedy and the resolve to America's issues. Calvary's cross is the very essence of the good news. Yet, I have lost count of times I have heard preachers of the gospel fail to mention it. Jesus told the Pharisees that they've omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith, and therein is our message. That's in Matthew 23. There's the proper arrangement, law, judgment, mercy, and faith. And it is because of judgment that we need mercy, and the way to obtain mercy is through faith. So what am I saying? I'm saying that it's a grave error to tell an impenitent sinner of God's love in Christ without the direct mention of the cross of Jesus Christ. Why? Why? Because the Bible doesn't do it. And how can we mention the cross without reference to sin? And how on earth can we mention sin without reference to the law of God's moral law? Romans 3:20. It must be because the sinner of today is more learned than the Apostle Paul, who said in Romans 7:7, I had not known sin but by the law. So therefore, has God changed his mind in using the law to bring the knowledge of sin? No! And if we want to show sinners that Jesus loved them and loves them, we must do so biblically or they will spurn his love. How do you do that? You show them that you love them. And you're moved by the love of God, which constraineth us, the Bible tells us. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Hey, folks, we can even invoke a tearful response by telling sinners that God loves them. It certainly is less offensive to the receivers and therefore an easier message to give. But I want to tell you something, friends. It's unbiblical. And it's not the message of the Bible in any sense of the word. God loves you through a demonstration. We're going to come back and talk about Isaiah 61 during the last segment.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches every day, doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are having a positive impact on the future of this country we all love so much. If you have not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you today to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty. Call 1-866-233-0747 or online at sonsoflibertyradio.com. Be a part of the team that brings responses like this.
Hi, I'm Lonnie Poindexter, and I'm the host of the Lion Chaser Show on UrbanFamilyTalk.com. And when I want the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help us God, I listen to Sons of Liberty Radio with Bradley Dean.
Become a son or daughter of liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com. sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Wildfires, hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, a crashing economy. Are you ready? At best, your local stores have a 3-day supply of food. Will your family have to fight over what's left? Are you willing to gamble your family's safety that it'll never happen to you? Be wise and be ready with 25-year shelf life Wise Food Storage. Wise Food Storage provides affordable, ready-made gourmet meals with a super long 25-year shelf life. Meals like pasta Alfredo, cheesy lasagna, breakfast, dessert, drinks, and snacks. Just add water and your family is eating delicious food instead of fighting for scraps in a food riot. Try it free. Order a no-obligation free sample meal delivered right to your front door. And for a limited time, get a 10% discount and free shipping on all orders. Once done, you're set for 25 years. Be wise and be ready with Wise Food Storage. Call for your free sample now. 800-775-9353. 800-775-9353. 800-775-9353.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Okie dokie, stokie. Folks, it really, in all sincerity, is important for people to get this information because for the most part, hey, folks, it's just so, it's lost in the mix, the scripture. And it's the easiest thing in the world to find. Read the Bible for yourself, and you'll know who's lying to you. That's what I talk about when we're talking about the issues going on in government today. If you read the Constitution, you'll know who's telling you the truth and who's not. I mean, for the most part, when you look at corruption in government, these politicians, they don't even know their founding documents, and they throw their political vernacular out there, and I want to tell you why they do that, because they want to speak a language that's foreign to you. So they can get away with the things that they're getting away with because they've got you asking the wrong questions. It's the same thing in the church today, America. And it started in the church, by the way. I mean, it's so completely backwards. Do you not see the fruit of the modern day church today in America, friends? Look at corruption in government. That is the fruit of that church. The church is called to be the moral compass of society. When that goes, everything else goes. You do need to understand that. The church is called to be the light of the world. What happens when they turn that light off and they refuse to obey? Well, take a look around America. You have 300,000 pulpits in America that are the greatest advocates to the homosexuals and to the abortion industry. They help them along more than anybody else does because they refuse to preach out against the sin of it. Nope, they've taken on the spirit of the world, and then what they do is they lower the standard of their spirituality because they no longer obey, and then they want people to come and all are welcome, and then you get all these little signs, and then before you know it, they have a rainbow flags flying. I mean, folks, they have no shame. They have a whore's forehead is what Scripture tells us. That's the forehead of disobedient people. But I want you to know in all sincerity, this is important information. If your preacher or that individual that's preaching from the pulpit, if they're not preaching out against sin, you better understand he's guilty of it. There is no power in that church. And furthermore, this can be another topic on another day. But I got a question for you, friends. How is it that in the New Testament, pastors brought up one time, and yet across America, everybody talks about the leader of the church as being the pastor, when Scripture tells us just the exact opposite? It's the apostle, the prophet, and the teacher that lead the church. 1 Corinthians 12:28. We'll get to that on a different day. One time, pastors brought up in Ephesians 4, verse 11. And yet the pastor leads the church? Scripturally, it's the elders that are supposed to lead the church up, friends, under the apostle and the prophet and the teacher. I mean, folks, you are literally upside down in this country, not just in politics, but again, it first started in the church. What was the message Jesus was giving overall? Well, Bradley, he preached to the poor and the brokenhearted and the captives and the blind and the oppressed. Wait a second, who are they? You know, Jesus quoted Isaiah to describe the work that he was called to do. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are oppressed, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Luke 4:18-19. Thus, the more you go after God, the deeper you will move into a world filled with hurting people. Right? That's the conception America has. Well, it's true. In Luke 4:18-19, Jesus gives a summation of who the gospel is for. Again, the poor, the brokenhearted, the captives, the blind, the oppressed. Scripturally, who are those people? Well, a quick study will show you that Jesus is not necessarily speaking to those who financially or who lack finances or financial resources when he speaks to the poor. The word means meek, humble, lowly, the poor in spirit, Matthew 5:3. These are the blessed ones to whom the kingdom of God belongs. The poor are those who know that they are destitute of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, Bible commentator Matthew Henry said of this verse, to whom was he to preach? To the poor, to those that were poor in the world? Huh? To those that were poor in spirit, yeah. To the meek, yeah. To the humble, yeah. And to those that were truly sorrowful for their sins. Wow, for violating God's moral law. When he speaks to the brokenhearted, he doesn't mean those unhappy people whose hearts are aching because they've been jilted by a sweetheart, but those who, like Peter and Isaiah, are contrite and sorrowing for their, here it is again, friends, their sins, their violation of breaking God's moral law, transgressing his law. Matthew Henry said again, for he was sent to heal the brokenhearted, to give peace to those that were troubled and humbled for sins, and to bring them to rest who were weary and heavy laden under the burden of guilt of their sin and corruption of their sin. I never was told that. No, I know. You have a carnal meaning. The captives are those that are taken captive by the devil to do his will. Read 2 Timothy 2:26. And the blind are those whom the God of this age has blinded to the light of the gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Who are the oppressed? The oppressed are those who are oppressed by the devil. Acts 16:38. And the gospel of grace is for the humble, not the proud. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. James 4:6. The Scripture therefore tells us, everyone who is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 16:5. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. Luke 1:52. So therefore God looks on the man who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and he who trembles at his word. Isaiah 66:2. See, only the sick need a physician, and only those who are convinced of the disease of sin will appreciate and appropriate the cure of the good news.
That's exactly right. And you know, when you're looking at all of the different things that we in America are responsible for. And just listening to the radio program today and every single type of issue that you see going on out there, the Sons of Liberty is hitting on a daily basis, all the way from university students to these outrageous interviews of these kids believing anything and everything but the truth, all the way to the God loves you gospel, as Bradley just eloquently went through about the fact that it's not scriptural. Of course God loves you. That's why he died on the cross for you, but his love was in demonstration, 1 John 3:18. So, and that's how this ministry operates, and we
and by the way, at no time did I say God didn't love you.
Of course.
He just never verbally said it through his son, Jesus Christ, in whom he was well pleased.
You're exactly right. He wasn't saying, hey, Peter, you know, love you, bro. Hey, you know, John, I love you this morning, you know, so on and so forth.
Have you not found, more than not, those that offer their lip service and they throw love around, they're the first ones gone when the cross does come.
That's exactly right. I've had people tell me that they've loved me before, and I thought, you love me? I'm like, this guy is, you know, whoever it was, you don't even know my favorite color. How can you say that you love
me?
I don't even know you. Listen, love is a demonstration, and I believe that we at the Sons of Liberty are loving in demonstration on a daily basis. And, you know, the proof is in the pudding. I want to read these couple referrals to you, for those of you who are considering supporting this ministry. Joseph Keeson, principal at the Sandstone School.
Remember that?
Yeah, East Central Senior High School. He said this: I am very pleased to write a letter in support of your program. I have been in education for over 30 years, and few assemblies have moved the students as well as your presentation and follow-up classroom discussions. I read over 20 student responses and talked to several groups of students about the production. All of them spoke highly of the musical presentation, the information, and the follow-up discussion. Many students made personal commitments to avoid drug use and abstain from sexual activity until marriage. One student wrote, "You communicated very well with us. I will probably think more about my sexual actions now. I believe you've been a positive influence." Another student wrote, "I thought it was interesting and very entertaining. You were all very funny and made it fun to listen to. In the classes, we do a lot of different demonstrations, and it's very enjoyable, but it has a serious point at the end of it." Here's another one.
Well, Jesus taught in the natural as he taught them spiritual lessons.
That's right.
Lessons.
In parables.
Yes.
Correct. So another one here from Eatonton, Georgia. We had a teacher named Richard who said this.
Remember that?
I'm having a hard time finding the right things to say. I simply believe that this presentation put on by Junkyard Prophet today was one of the most, was of more benefit to the children than any other program I have seen. If we were trying to reach kids and teach them to be problem solvers and decision makers, then we can do no better than give them the facts and tell them the truth and let them decide. And that's exactly what we're doing. We're giving the facts, speaking the truth, and the students respond to it. One student I remember said it was like the lights came on.
Yep.
That's
Florida.
The illumination of the Holy Spirit,
yep.
Which is awesome. In public schools, this is exactly what Bradley does, straightforward, supported, and legitimate. So there were so many different, you know, quotes from the kids and so on and so forth. One of them said this: their stories and information hit close enough to home to make me think about how my life is going and where I will be in 10 years. I could go on and on and on with all these different referrals. If you want to check more, please go to sonsoflibertyradio.com. Click on our different kinds of endorsements that we have. But for those of you who are considering supporting the Sons of Liberty, do not delay. There are more people out there that are needing to be reached that we cannot reach without your support. So go to sonsoflibertyradio.com or sonsoflibertymedia.com. Click on that button that says Become a Son or Daughter of Liberty. Choose your level of membership. One is simply a dollar a day. I think most everyone can afford a dollar a day to seek and save that which is lost. Don't delay. Be a part of this crew that's reaching out to this nation and changing the hearts and minds of people for Christ across America.
Love you by what we do, guys, girls. 1 John 3:18. Thank you again for joining us this week. We'll talk to you on Monday. See ya.
Hello, I'm Michael Reagan. My father, President Ronald Reagan, believes so strongly in gold that he changed gold ownership forever by bringing back physical gold to the American public, allowing gold coins to be minted and sold to U.S. citizens just like you, starting in 1985. Gold ownership can help protect your financial future, especially when our national debt is spiraling out of control. Many smart Americans have kept their retirements from being wiped out during America's financial crisis thanks to physical gold coins. I strongly urge you to call the U.S. Money Reserve at 1-866-944-GOLD or go online to usmoneyreserve.com. Ask for a special gold guide with new, never-before-released information about gold from the U.S. Money Reserve. Call 1-866-944-GOLD or go online to usmoneyreserve.com. I'm Michael Reagan. Thank you.